I had students in class who wanted to hear about mixed race, and so I taught one class on it. They liked it so much, I made it into a two-week unit. And they liked that so much, I turned it into a class. And after that, I thought, well, maybe this is enough there to write a book about. I mostly draw from pop culture and from visual culture specifically, so advertising, television, film, that sort of thing. That's partly just because of my own background and training. I was trained in literary studies, and I did most of my dissertation work on films. I'm also interested in popular cultural icons because I feel like they have something to say about our culture more generally. I feel like the reason that people become popular is because they tap into something that many of us can relate to. My particular interest was in mixed-race Asian Americans, partly because I think there's so many figures, I think, in popular culture, but they're so rarely recognized as being mixed-race Asian Americans, and I wanted to explore that more.
Tiger Woods certainly is one of the most recognized athletes around the world. And, of course, with some of the things that happened during Tiger's career in the past few years, made him even more well-known, I guess. Tiger is an interesting case. His father is African-American. His mother is Thai. And he pretty much calls himself an Asian-American.
Well, you know, it's a little ambivalent. Right? I mean, there's times, I think, where he identifies as African-American, sometimes as Asian-American. He had made up this term, Kablan Asian, for a while, that he called himself. I think, though, for most of his career, he actually tries not to really identify racially at all. His publicity tends to paint him as something new, something outside of our usual racial categories.
You mentioned the colorblindness aspect and how that can be potentially difficult for somebody like Tiger Woods.
To some ways, at the beginning of his career, it was a big advantage. And I think he really promoted himself as this kind of colorblind ideal, and it was very marketable. And so I think a lot of his advertising campaign really focused on him being this kind of new figure, this multiracial figure, colorblind figure. But I think that eventually there was too many expectations built up around it, so that when he got caught up in this scandal, it seems like a lot of that colorblindness kind of was revealed for being very flimsy and not really having much staying power. And so after the scandal, I think he was racialized very strongly, particularly as an African-American.
Science fiction has been very well known for integrating the races in various scenarios and storylines. You talk a little bit about race and science fiction in your book.
I love science fiction, so that was a sort of a natural choice for me. I see a lot of science fiction films, and I think, you know, science fiction is this really interesting space where people are able to have a utopia, have this kind of ideal of the world that they want to see. Often that's, I think, the overt story that we see on screen. Science fiction is still written by people who live in the world, same world we live in, so I think a lot of our unconscious beliefs about race still surface in those films in ways that aren't on the surface, right, that you might not recognize right away.
Are you surprised that there's so much dialogue about race at this point in our time? If you go back in virtually any family tree, you can find that families are multiracial.
That's right. And that's true for Asian Americans, too, which I think might be surprising for some people. We always are thinking about mixed-race people as being something new and about Asian-American interracial relationships as being something new, but that's been a part of U.S. Asian-American history since Asian-Americans have been here. I'm not surprised by the conversation. I'm actually a little surprised that there isn't more conversation. I think race is still a really big part of U.S. society, and there's so many taboos around talking about it that I think it actually suppresses some of the conversations that we might otherwise have.
One of the interesting topics I found in your book was multiracial genetics and the problem of geography. So often we tend to look at geographical areas for clues and answers to this discussion, but you say that it's really a poorly defined parameter.
The kind of sense that we have that geography can explain so much for us, I think, is partly because it seems like it exists outside of society or exists outside of culture. But a lot of the ways that we draw those boundaries between different continents or different geographical areas is really something that we've come up with socially rather than something that's existing naturally in the world.
That's incredibly complex and very emotional.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also why it's so difficult to talk about. How can it be anything but personal? And so people feel very personal about their own racial identity, about feeling like they're going to say the wrong thing. I think that happens a lot. So we tend to not talk about it because we're not only worried that we're going to say the wrong thing, but that we're going to offend other people, that they're going to think badly of us because of the way we talk about race. So it's easier just not to say anything at all, at least in the short term. I think I would like for people to think about mixed race people as the beginning of a conversation, because there is this sense that mixed race people are something new and that they are a race of the future. I think a lot of times that shuts down conversation because we believe that we don't really actually have to do anything to improve racial relations, that we're inevitably heading towards this future where everyone's mixed. And I don't really think that's true. I think recognizing how long mixed race people have been with us and how enduring the racial groupings have been despite all this mixing can give us a way to start having a more robust conversation. You know, why is it that these racial groups continue to exist? Why is it so difficult for us to acknowledge or recognize mixed race Asian Americans in particular? Why do we still have these embedded stereotypical ideas about racial groupings?